Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7 to chapter 12, verse 8. Starting at verse 7. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low, they are afraid also of what is high and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. So let me pray before we come to listen to what God has to speak to us today. Lord, will you please help us to understand your word? Help us to hear your voice and to be changed by your spirit. Humble us, O Lord, that we might be able to listen rightly and that we will be able to live according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in these past few months, we have been sitting at the feet of the preacher, Koheleth, as he calls himself, as he has led us through many meditations on life and death, wisdom and folly, meaning and meaninglessness. Now, as we draw to the end of this book, in these verses, the preacher offers his wisdom to a young man, drawing on the themes of his previous teaching. Now, while the verse speaks of a young man, I take this text to be very valuable to all manner of youth, which I will define very broadly as those who are approaching or in their prime of life. But many among us today are, if we speak plainly, no longer in that category. There is a word in here for you too. Now, I won't set an age limit artificially to say that, you know, past this time, you're no longer a youth and whatnot. The word here to the youth is very relevant to a very wide range of ages, from perhaps even early teens to 20s and 30s, maybe even 40s and 50s. But in any case, many of the messages here to the youth are very relevant to everyone, no matter what age you're at. So there is no room to dodge anything that the preacher has to say today. Now, with that warning in mind, I split the text today or the sermon into three parts. First, a message to the youth, rejoicing and remembering. Second, a message to the older among us, repentance and rejoicing. And third, to all of us, rejoicing in the resurrection. Before turning to each one of these specifics, however, let me begin where the preacher does, with the general. Come with me to chapter 11, verse 7. He begins with a wonderfully poetic statement. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Light is sweet indeed, and we all know this from our personal experience. Light enables us to see the beauty of the world, the flowers and the trees. Light is clarity after a dark night, comfort after a nightmare, the dawn after despair, a light of peace. Light, we know, is sweet, very sweet indeed. The preacher therefore says in verse 8, because light is sweet, rejoice all the days of your life. But then he all goes on to remind us that when we rejoice, we must remember that the days of darkness will be many. Now, whether this means the days of aging or the days of death, we all know that the dying down of light is not a good thing. So he tells us to rejoice on the one hand, but also to know that the light will one day come to an end and darkness will come. This is an instruction that he gives to all of us. Rejoice and remember. Now, this two commands, rejoice and remember, will govern the rest of this passage. And we will see that the commands he gives to the youth are just a particular application of a general truth that he speaks about in this verse. So let me now turn to address the youth first. To the youth among us, the preacher first says in chapter 11, verse 9, rejoice. The instruction here is to be joyful in your life. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. The preacher goes on to tell the youth how you should go about rejoicing. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all of these things, God will bring you into judgment. The first thing that we should note is that the biblical faith and true religion is not a dull and boring thing. It is not a religion of killjoys. The biblical faith is a faith that calls every person to rejoice in every circumstance of your life, to enjoy everything that God has given, and to embrace the life that God has granted to you. Indeed, if anything, when we turn away from God, when we turn away from the truth in the Bible, we turn ourselves away from joy. It is a mistake to see pursuing God as leaving joy for dullness, leaving happiness for boredom. Instead, pursuing God as the creator of all things, as the giver of all good gifts, and as the very source and definition of goodness is pursuing true joy, and it enhances, not diminishes, our enjoyment of our life and our creation. But yet, this pursuit of joy is not without restraints. See, verse 9 reminds all of us, we can follow the desires of our heart and our eyes, but we must know that God will also bring us into judgment for what we decide to do. Now, does this restraint take away from joy? By no means. Restraints are a necessary part of rejoicing. Because there are enjoyments and pleasures in this evil and fallen world, and there are sinful hearts that lead one into evil. And once we go into evil, we turn away from the true joy. Let's take alcohol, for example. Right, alcohol is a great gift to many, but also is something that can be very easily abused. It is a cause of much heartbreak, much violence, and much death in the world. Too much alcohol leads to drunkenness and all kinds of excess. And the same principle applies to whatever we seek joy in. Food, romance, work, even play. Joy can be found in all of these things, but if pursued without listening to the one who created them, without listening to God himself, they lead to all sorts of evils. Now in verse 10, he instructs you who are young, remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. In other words, your youth is fleeting. Don't spend it with vexation and dwelling about pain. The word vexation here refers to frustration and worry and anxiety, and the preacher is telling you, do not be anxious. This is a difficult message for many of us to hear, especially in our competitive world that thrives on comparisons. Many of us are naturally even perhaps anxious about the future, about education, about studies, about grades, about work, about performance, about friends and family, about relationships. When you're young, so much is uncertain and anxiety appears to be natural. But the preacher reminds us, do not be anxious. Now, we could spend a whole morning delving into the topic of how the gospel speaks into our anxiety, but that's a sermon for another day. Perhaps I will leave this off by quoting the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, similarly, he says, do not let your mind linger on bodily pains either. For those of us who experience illness or difficulty, this is a difficult word, and I don't mean to suggest that your suffering is not real or that pain is not a real feeling and a problem in your life. But the preacher reminds us that in our short youth, there are sometimes better things to do than dwell on or obsess about the pain that we experience. And for that reason, he says to set aside both anxiety and pain and seek after joy. Now, of course, there are many things here that are difficult to apply in a sermon. And if you are experiencing difficulty with these things, do speak to any of the pastoral staff in the church, and we'd be glad to follow up with you to help you through to work out what the gospel speaks to you about anxiety and pain in your life. But for now, let me turn to the second command in chapter 12, verse 1, saying, remember also your creator in the days of your youth. Well, what does it mean to remember? Remembrance plays a very significant role in the Bible. The Old Testament is full of commands to remember. Israel is told, remember God, remember God's work, remember God's faithfulness, remember his covenants and commandments. To remember God is to bring to mind him, his character, his works, his faithfulness. But also, not just an intellectual exercise, but also to respond then in faith that God continues to be faithful, that God continues to be God. Now, as Christians, we are told that when we partake in the Lord's Supper, we do so in remembrance of the Lord's death. And it's not just a mere memorial, but it is for us also a true and present application of Jesus' death to us on the cross. By contrast, it is when people forget God, when they turn away from God and forget who he is and what he has done, that people are easily swayed by other gods, even to the extent of denying the true and living God. So he says, remember. But he says, remember God, your creator. And the word your there brings this to a very particular and personal application. See, he is not just the God of the creator of the cosmos and the creator of the billions of stars in the universe, but he is also your creator who knows you personally and formed you from the womb. And the emphasis here on the creator also reminds us that the God that we worship is the one who has provided us all things in life, who has created the food that we eat, the drink that we drink, our work, our studies, our friends, our family, our hobbies, and our sports. Everything that we have is from him. So how do we remember God? Well, God actually has given us many ways of doing this in our lives. Establish a habit of prayer and reading your word, the word of God. Spend your time well in church, serving and enjoying friends and community. Worship God in the church and take part in the Lord's Supper. Now, if you say that these things don't sound very special, you didn't need someone in the pulpit to tell you these things, well, in a sense, you're right. These are very regular and ordinary means by which God brings himself to remembrance in your life. Day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, by these regular and ordinary means, he presents himself again and again to you from now until glory comes. But in another sense, these are the most special things you could possibly do. So don't let the busyness of studies or work or family life distract you. This is exactly when, in your youth, that you should be seeking his help to establish these habits of grace in your life. The preacher then presses home this point, that this should be done all in the days of your youth, with three befores, in verse 1, verse 2, and verse 6. Now, I will say at the outset that these are difficult things for someone like me of my age to speak to you all about, because there are many things here that I've never personally experienced. But let's hear what the preacher has to say about the way that life goes. So the first before in chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, remember God your creator before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. The longer you live, the more evils you will see. Children growing up and turning away from their families, marriages growing cold, businesses falling, retrenchment happening, grudges piling up. As life goes on and strife increases, family disagreements may come to the fore. Siblings and cousins and friends may become estranged, and the death of family members and friends begin to come with regularity. As you grow older, you will see more grievous evil happening in your life. That's a fact of this fallen world that we live in. The second before in chapter 12, verse 2, turns us to the physical deterioration that comes with age. These verses describe what happens to our bodies as we grow older. The first few verses speak of the light that begins to diminish. And even after the rain, when we expect the sky to become blue again, the clouds return. It is a picture of grayness, of dullness, of everything losing color and life. It goes on, the keepers of the house tremble, the arms begin to falter. These are specific images of the body becoming weaker in age. The strong men are bent, the legs begin to falter. The grinders cease, these are the teeth that begin to fall and weaken. Those who look through the windows are dimmed, the eyesight begins to fade. The doors in the street are shut and the sounds are muffled. Your hearing begins to weaken. You begin to lose interest in foods and eat less and less. Your sleep is light, and the sound of a bird is enough to wake you. Your voice is weakened, and the narrow and crowded streets and a slight height starts becoming a danger to you again. Your hair turns white like a blossoming almond tree, and what was once energetic like a grasshopper now has to drag its uncooperative body along. The end is in sight, and death is so close that it is almost as if the mourners are already out in the street. That is a sober picture of what happens to our bodies in this life, in this world. The third before in verse 6 gives us a picture of death itself. The first two images are of a golden bowl which holds oil and acts as a lamp and dangles from a silver cord. But if the silver cord snaps, the golden bowl falls to the ground, the oil spills everywhere, and the light, the flame, is put out. The pitcher is a container for water, but if it is shattered, the water seeps out and leaks, emptying itself, just as life leaves the body at the end. And the wheel at the cisterns is a pulley system at the well, which is used to collect water in most instances. But if it becomes broken, then it's rendered useless and the body is no longer able to function. The preacher summarizes these images in verse 7. The dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. He pictures death as a reversal of creation. Man, who was made from dust, returns to the dust again, and the breath that God had breathed out onto mankind in Genesis 3 returns back to God. But with all these verses, the message is clear. Yes, O youth, you may feel that life is going your way now, but know that as you live, suffering will pile up. The evil days will come. Yes, you may feel healthy now, but the days are coming when you will feel it difficult to stand up, to wake up, to eat, and to walk. Yes, you may feel that life is so full of potential now, but do not forget that death awaits you as well. But there are three reasons why this message is particularly important for the youth, but is important for us all. First, the preacher knows that we are prone to take things for granted. Especially those who are younger, we may be tempted to embrace what God has given to us, but fail to remember God. When life is good, it is sometimes easy to love the creation while forgetting to love the Creator. Reminding us of the evil days, of aging and of death, reminds us that what we have is not ours, and we therefore cannot take it for granted, but must turn it always back to God. But second, this is also an encouragement to all of us to do what we can to build up good habits and a strong foundation in Christ so that we will be able to weather the coming storms. The most important thing that you can do in your youth and in times of peace is to dig deep, to build a strong foundation on Jesus, the cornerstone, maturing in grace, so that you will not be tossed to and fro by the suffering of the world, the aging of your bodies, and the despair of death. Ground yourself now in prayer, the Word, and the Church. As the prophet Jeremiah put it, the one who trusts in the Lord is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in a year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. If we want to bear fruit in our later days, we need to sink our roots deeply now into God's Word and His Church, continually learning to trust in Him who has given us all things. But third, and this is the darkest of the three reasons, there is a real risk that it will be harder to turn to God in those dark days. This is a warning to us all. Do we think that if we live a half-hearted life now in God, that we will one day later on, perhaps when we retire or when we have more free time, that we will then be able to truly commit to living for God? Are we putting off living for God now because we will do it later? But this message also is especially a warning to those among us who do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you might think that you will put off living and believing in God because you will be able to turn to Him in the last days of your life. Let me tell you, there is no guarantee that that will happen. There is a truth to the matter that the more that one lives through life without God, the more one's heart can be hardened against God. Today is better than any other day for you to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to repent of your sins, believe that He is your Lord and Savior. So for all these reasons, the preacher urges us, remember God, your Creator, before those dark days, the evil days, the days of aging, and the days of death. Now, let me turn to the older among us. Having spoken to those who are approaching or in the prime of life, to those of us who are older, the preacher also has a word for you. For those of you who look back on your past years with regret, perhaps whether you came to Christ late or whether you regret not committing to God more wholeheartedly in your youth, do not simply regret the life that you have lived. Turn this regret to God with lament and repentance, with a godly grief. Yes, you can be sad for the days that have passed, but let that turn you towards God now, towards true repentance and a deeper joy, not a desperate attempt to squeeze out pleasure in the remaining years of your life. A midlife crisis should look very different for a Christian than it does for an unbeliever. Now, when you look back, do so recognizing that you are truly free from your past if you repent of your sins. Forgiveness is truly available for the mistakes of your past, the lost years and the transgressions and sins of your youth. Through Jesus Christ on the cross, all of your sins, every single one, is forgiven if you would believe. There is a true power there which breaks you free from the chains of your past and frees you to truly change for the future. But above all, no matter your age, the message to you is the same as the message to the youth. Rejoice and remember God your Creator. Everything that I've said above applies to you as well, since you who are hearing this are still alive. That means there is still time to live for God in this world. You are called to rejoice in everything that He has given to you, even now, just as the youth are called to do so. Now, your rejoicing and your remembering may have a different flavor, in a sense, a different texture because of your life experience, but you are enabled by the same Spirit, the same Lord Jesus Christ, to do so. You are born again, made new, and you can live your life in the Spirit, rejoicing and remembering, regardless of your age, regardless of your past. Well, let me also speak to all of us from this side of the cross. Now, I've already spoken to some of you who do not yet believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but let me also now remind you that without a Savior, all of the suffering that we've talked about, the evil days, the days of aging and the days of death, all those things are just the beginning in that sense, because after death comes judgment for sins. Whatever suffering that you have faced or you will face in this life pales in comparison to God's justice at the end of the creation when you die and you come face to face with the living God. But even for you now, there is a hope. You see, this hope lies in the very reason why we as a church are able to rejoice in God today. As a church, we rejoice in God, we remember God, because He, in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has taken on flesh, lived a life in this world perfectly rejoicing in God, remembering Him all the days of His life. He suffered the pains and injustices of the evil days and died at a young age in a most tragic, most unjust death in the history of the world, hanging on a cross like a criminal. And all of this in order that God might forgive us our sins, our foolish desires, our wasted years, our forgetfulness, and our worldliness. The preacher began by saying, "Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun." Jesus, who walked this very earth, taught us, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Regardless of how old or young we are, and I'm talking even to those who are children, Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. He is the one we trust to bring us through all the suffering and pain of the days of decay and the days of death. He is with us as we encounter life in all of its ugliness, as we struggle with our aging bodies, as we come face to face with death. He shepherds us through the valley of death, and we shall not fear. He frees us from the bondage of sin and enables us to truly rejoice in God all the days of our life. And importantly, at the end of the day, our hope is not in this life only, but in the resurrection. We all await a bodily resurrection, a surpassing and everlasting glory, when our very bodies will rise again, perfected, free from the ailments of age, free from illness and pain, free from anxiety and vexation, free to enjoy God in a new and physical creation. In a very real sense, our lives are just beginning. Whether you are 10 or 20 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 80 or 90, your life is just beginning. Since this life that God has given to you, if you believe in Jesus Christ, extends all the way into eternity. Your life extends forever from the day of your birth to eternity with God. Remember God, rejoice in Him, and prepare yourself for the eternal life that you have with Him. If I may borrow the last words of the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, speaking of the lives of the main characters in the book, all their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. We are all living in the prologue, the beginning, the introduction to the most wonderful, glorious, and beautiful story which extends into eternity. The preacher warned us in verse 8 that the days of darkness will be many, but we say with triumph and victory, after the night comes the dawn, and the days of light will be everlasting. Follow the light, drink in the light, and rejoice. Rejoice all the days of your life, and remember God your Creator, Christ your Redeemer, and you will have life to the fullest, eternally. Amen. Let us close now in a time of prayer before we respond to God in song. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, help us to see the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, and help us to follow Him no matter where we are in our lives. Let us be faithful. Let us seek to ground ourselves in You, and let us trust that You will lead us through the darkness and into the everlasting light of the new creation. Father, will You help us as a church to reflect the light of Christ? Let us bear witness to Jesus, and let us seek to call many to remember You in this fallen world. We pray for our annual general meeting later as well, that You will be pleased to bless us as a community, that we might do all things according to Your will with all wisdom and insight. May You help us also as we move to Treehouse. Let Your light shine there in our new venue. May we also be faithful in whatever ministry You prepared for us beforehand. We pray now for those who are suffering from the economic crisis and from the COVID-19 pandemic. We know that it is tough now for some to rejoice, and it is tough also to remember God in these dark days. May Your light reach into their lives, that they may be comforted and blessed. May we as a church who are able love not only with our lips, but with our hands and our hearts. We pray all this, O Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you please rise and let us now respond to God in song.